Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
It is the end of DEI in government. That's right. President Donald Trump has ended DEI officially. Good. He's ended discrimination. Biden administration spent $16 million of taxpayer dollars on DEI training in 2023, and it is over, Johnny. It's over. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Great to have you with us today. I appreciate you being here and joining the show and being part of it. So I have my antibiotic here, and we're gonna do it right now. If you're streaming live on YouTube, you can see it. This is my what the hell is this anyway? What am I taking here? What is this, Matt? What do they give me here? I should probably read the label, right? Daptomycin, 600 milligrams of daptomycin. That's what it is. Daptomycin.
Yeah, you should definitely read what you're taking before you take it.
Right, exactly. Daptomycin. Okay, good. There we go. Here we go. I got to do a 10-minute timer. You want to start a 10-minute timer for me?
Yeah, I've got it. I'm setting it right now.
All right, my wife's going to freaking kill me that I'm doing this by myself. Because, you see, if I do it all once, I'll go deaf. See, this is what I got to do. And I got to do this for the next couple weeks. So in case you're bored and wondering what it is that I'm doing, or wondering what it is that this is all about. So basically what this is all about is that I am dealing with a staph infection in my right foot, and my right foot is hopefully healing and getting better, we hope. And then hopefully everything will be okay and we'll be good. Then I have to get another surgery. And the reason why I need another surgery is because they have to go into my foot. They have a whole thing in there where they've got to fuse the bone. See, the first podiatrist that put in this implant, the implant failed. And so they took the implant out. This was not a Cooper doctor. This was a Fugazi, some loser foot doctor. Anyway, the Cooper podiatrist took the implant out and it was infected, and they had to clean it all out and then put in this antibacterial thing in there. And now they got to, at some point, go back in there and fuse my bone back once the infection's healed. So anyway, that's what I got to do. That'll be in a couple weeks, and then I'll be out for hopefully just a day. And it's hopefully just a one night stay in the hospital, and we'll be good. I think the worst is over. That's the good news. The worst is over, and it's all smooth sailing from here. What could possibly go wrong, really, is the question. And the answer, of course, is so many things, including me injecting myself with an antibiotic.
Yeah, what am I supposed to do at the 10-minute mark? Just let you know, I didn't go to medical school. I don't know what I'm doing here.
Oh, well, just if I pass out, just call 911.
But I got to let you know when the 10 minutes is up, right?
Yeah. Let me know when it's up, and then I'll stop. I'll stop squeezing the antibiotic in.
All right, you're 2 minutes in.
I gotta space it over the course of 10 minutes.
Gotcha.
See, when I was in the hospital for a week, this was in an IV bag, and so they would do a slow drip over a half hour. But now, when you do it at home, it's concentrated, and you just kind of do it. But if you do it all at once, you can go deaf. So you gotta space it out over 10 minutes. Also, because it's very tough on your kidneys, apparently. So that's what they say. See, everything about my life. Everything about my life. This show, and as you say, I share too much. Right, Matt? I share too much.
Lucky us.
There's no holds barred. Okay, so the other thing I wanted to get to is, let's see here now. We've got J.D. Vance going into the Oval Office for the first time. This was kind of fun. But it's amazing about this to me, Matt, was that he's never been inside the Oval Office before. And he's the United States Senator.
You would have thought it would have happened by now. But I guess it makes sense, because didn't he get that Senate seat in 2022? So Trump would have been out of office. And I don't really see a reason why Biden would invite him.
Biden would not have invited J.D. Vance to go into the White House at any point, probably. And if he did, probably J.D. Vance wasn't taking him up on the offer. Besides, Biden wasn't ever really in the Oval Office. Remember they built that Fugazi Oval Office for him to pretend like he was president? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So cue up cut 22. Speaker Mike Johnson is narrating this. They gathered for their meeting at the White House yesterday. And J.D. had mentioned that he'd never visited the Oval Office before. Now, I've been in the Oval Office, and I was in the Oval Office with President Trump. But again, I was not an anti-Trumper like J.D. Vance was at one point. I'm just saying. Just saying. You know, I mean, now he's vice president, and I'm here sicking myself with an antibiotic. I'm not bitter. Not bitter. It's fine. It's all good. Okay, clearly, my destiny goes in a different direction. Like self-injecting myself with, what is this again?
I already forgot the name.
By the way, the left is very unhappy about the DEI stuff. It is daptomycin 600 milligrams in a syringe. All right, let me put a little more in here. Oh, and I'm supposed to, when I do, I had to flush my IV line. You see this? This is a saline. And I'm supposed to get the bubble out, and I forgot to do that. So I don't know what that means. I know that I could die from that too, apparently. So we're maybe not out of the woods yet. I think if you don't get the bubble out, something bad could happen. And there's my wife coming in to hand me hand sanitizer. She doesn't want to be on camera, but I can tell from the look on her face, she's furious that I'm doing this by myself. So, oh, the couch is calling my name tonight, kids. You know what I mean?
You should definitely make sure that the next syringe does not have any air bubbles in it. I mean, I'm sure it's nothing, but I think that could potentially block a blood vessel.
That could cause a clot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and this one has a bubble in it, too. I'm going to tap it a little bit. See, when I shoot up my heroin, it doesn't have any bubbles. It's just a straight shot. Oh, well.
Air embolism is the term.
Air embolism?
Yeah, you don't want that.
That doesn't sound good.
No, it sounds very bad.
Sounds like an air embolism is not a good thing.
We want to avoid the air embolism.
By the way, do we have the Justin cam on today? Can we turn the Justin cam on for a moment? I just want to see. We got to get Justin a Zioli Army beanie. We haven't gotten you one yet, huh?
Nope.
That's outrageous. Justin, you're a witness here to what I'm doing. Have you ever seen someone so brave in the history of modern medicine and radio?
I don't think there's anybody braver than yourself in this very moment in time.
Now, Justin, you went to Rowan. You have a degree in communications, broadcasting. You are an accomplished, and you're going to go far. You're going to go very far in life. You're a very talented guy. Got a great voice.
Thank you.
Good on the air. Your music selections are usually good. Sometimes they suck, but usually pretty good. Have you ever heard of a host bravely self-administering his own antibiotics in the history of radio?
I can say categorically at 4:10 p.m. on the 22nd of January in the year of our Lord, 2025, I have never heard of a host self-administering their antibiotics on the air and also streaming it live to his beloved YouTube audience. No.
Exactly. Okay. Now, have you ever heard of a host dying of, what was that thing called, Matt? Air embolism?
An air embolism.
Have you ever heard of a host dying of air embolism? Because that may be happening to me before the end of the day today.
I can't say I've heard that either.
All right. I gotta be careful about that. It's the second time I've done that, too, where I forgot to get bubble out. I know. And Bridget's very good. She's like a hawk with this stuff. I'm also supposed to use hand sanitizer on my hands. And I forgot to do that, too. So let me do that now while it's not too late. I know. There's no chance I'm surviving this. Let's just be honest. The only question is, who are they going to put in afternoon drive? That's the only question, really, is that. And we already know what song I'm playing at my funeral, which is Simple Man. So the only question then is I mean, Opelka's got a morning show, so it won't be him. And there's several people who'd love to see me die to get this show. It's a very coveted position, obviously. All right, so here's J.D. Vance. I think I've teased that enough. Going into the Oval Office. By the way, I was in the Oval Office with President Trump and Dawn Stensland. And we went into his private office. Of course, that is where the infamous plate incident happened. where the president proceeded to hand me a very big silver dish. I'm sorry. Yes. And then Don got a little silver plate. And then he proceeded to take the silver, the big dish out of my hands and give it to Don and give me the little one. And that happened. That's the thing that really happened. So, and he's a smart man for doing so. All right, play it.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
There's JD walking in with the president. Walking down the hall of the West Wing. And the president walks in first. There's Margot. Wow.
This is J.D. Vance's first time to step into the Oval Office. It's incredible.
This is incredible.
Trump's like, I've been here. It's no big thing. He doesn't even seem impressed by it. He's like the kid that went on the Star Wars ride and now he's got to go on it again with his, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I got to do this again? Please. I guess it never gets old, but how are we doing on the timer, Matt?
You got one more minute. You just hit 9 minutes exactly.
All right, now what do we think? Did Sherelle Parker purposely misspell the Eagles, or is this like what? I mean, what is this? What is this about? This is making national news.
It was just a mistake. I don't think she did it on purpose.
You don't think she was trying to do like Eagles, like Meryl Reese?
No, I think she just wasn't paying attention and screwed up the letters.
All right, well, let's play it and listen to it, and then we can decide. This is cue up cut 23 here, and the question is, did the mayor of Philadelphia, I'm going to defend her. I think she was trying to pull a Meryl Reese and be like, Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Hear you all say, E-L-G-S-E-S, Eagles! We don't promise perfection. I'm so happy that I never have, especially after I couldn't spell Eagles right.
Oh, okay. I won't defend her then, since she admitted that she didn't spell it right. You know.
By the way, you just hit 10 minutes.
Thank you. All right, so I'm almost done here. By the way, Mayor Parker, here's a little trick in life. When you screw up, never admit it. Just go with, no, I did that on purpose. Duh. I was trying to make a joke about the Eagles. But if you come out and you say you spelled it wrong, then my defense was shot. I didn't listen to the full clip in context. So there you go. See? That should be a news story. Conservative talk host defends mayor of Philadelphia and then finds out that she admitted that she spelled it wrong. So never mind. Oops. While self-administering antibiotics. Justin, also, in addition to that, we did the show live from the hotel. It basically is a hotel for me. Room service. I'm away from the kids. I'm a private room from the hospital last week. And that was also a first in radio history, I believe.
Yeah, I said in chat, nobody is doing radio first this consistently more than our show.
Now, what is the YouTube chat saying about my self-administering of antibiotics here? This is the end of it. There we go. I'll throw this towards the camera like Trump throwing his pens. You know what I mean? Remember when Trump was throwing the pens after his signing statements and the executive orders? I just threw my IV. I just threw my antibiotic at everybody. What is the what are people saying in the YouTube chat, Justin?
We got Newman Price, Dapto Merlot in a syringe. What else?
Dapto Merlot, like. Very good.
A Road Warrior next commercial. Don't be surprised if he's standing and frozen in place.
Mm-hmm. Hey, put the Justin cam back on. Come on. Everybody wants to see Justin's face.
The
so what
following
I'm doing right
ad
now is I'm cleaning. What was that?
Sorry, ignore that.
No, I am cleaning the IV with a alcohol wipe, okay? And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to inject saline solution into it. This time, though, I'm actually going to get the bubble out. So watch this. I try to not get it on my computer. I'm going to get the bubble out, and bubble is up. Yep, there we go. It's out. I just, shot it up in my face a little bit. Like, did you see that? Put a little something about Mary with my saline solution. Oh. That shot up right into my hair.
Ugh.
So now I'm going to put this in to the IV. I know this is riveting radio, but This is what it's like to be in the Zioli army. You got to be there for the, you know, for the president's health issues. Remember when Trump had COVID? It was kind of like that. We watched him on Marine One. We all prayed for him. You're going to watch me with my saline injection. It's not that easy to do, by the way, by yourself. So that's why Bridget usually helps me. All right, this one is easier. Watch this. Ready? I'm good at this. Boom. 1, 2, 3. Look at that. Look at that. If my enemies really wanted to kill me, this is the way to do it. You just slip something inside. If my wife wants to kill me, who am I kidding? All right, there you go. Throw that at the camera right there. And then I'm going to do another alcohol wipe. And then the last thing we have is this anti-blood clot thingy so that I don't get a blood clot and die. Even though I'm already going to die of, what is it called? Aerial asphyxiation. What is it?
What? No, it was an air embolism.
Air embolism.
But you made sure there were no air bubbles this time, so you should be good.
Yeah, I shot it. It came. It shot right across my head, and we're good. All right. It's that.
By the way, our YouTube numbers are going up, so people actually are interested in this.
Yeah, I mean, this is radio history right here. This is the afternoon drive host, a major market, big Fox News star, self-administering his own IV antibiotics to fight his staph infection. I mean, the numbers from Saturday night were huge, even though there was a sporting contest on. All right, put this in, and oh, there's a bubble. I probably should have got that bubble out. Anyway, okay, there we go. And that's it. I'm done. That's it. Ready? There you go. Then I put a little cap on, put a fresh cap, and then I don't think my wife brought me a fresh cap. Did she? No, I got to get a fresh cap. And then that's it. That's how it goes. See?
Another first down for the Rich Zeoli Show.
This show is always breaking records. This show is always doing new things, climbing to new heights, achieving new dreams. That's what we do on this show.
I don't know why I watch this. I could have done without looking. I've been watching the YouTube stream myself. Usually I don't even look at it, but you even encouraged me to tune in today, I guess.
You see, this is the my teaching mat. This is how I do it. This is how I make sure that the four things go in properly in order. And if you notice, it says certain things like, please get the bubble out of the saline solution, you idiot, so that you don't get, what is it called again?
The air embolism.
Air embolism. Yeah, get the air bubble out, you moron, and do that. And also wash your hands, dumbass, so you don't get a bacterial infection.
Yeah, you don't says need that any too. More infections.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm trying to follow the rules here. And then we have this now. When it comes to one of my favorite things on the show is, of course, the fact that Justin Trudeau is the bastard love child of Fidel Castro. And I can say that now.
Hello.
Well, what?
Well, we here at the Rich Zeoli Show officially believe that Justin Trudeau is the son of Pierre Trudeau.
Allegedly, but I think that's only because his father, just like he got the bubble out, like just like I did with my saline solution, if you know what I mean, into Justin's mom is what I'm trying to say.
That's what I'm trying to say. Heavens. Ugh.
Okay. And then little Justin came, little Fidel. But, you know, allegedly, that's what we say anyway. He's talking tough against Donald Trump. Trump is about to start. Actually, now he's ignoring him. He's not even acknowledging Justin Trudeau exists. But here is little Fidel, cut 18. Sorry, did I get the wrong one?
His concerns about the border.
There we go.
While less than 1% of fentanyl and illegal immigrants that enter the United States come from Canada, our government has already acted to address the concerns raised by the president about border security with an over $1 billion comprehensive border plan. We're already working collaboratively to keep our citizens safe on both sides of the border. Of course, if the president does choose to proceed with tariffs on Canada, Canada will respond.
Ooh!
Everything is on the table.
Ooh!
Working in unison with Team Canada, as Team Canada, with business leaders, organized labor, civil society, indigenous leaders, and premiers from coast to coast to coast, we are prepared for every possible scenario.
There you go.
In fact,
look at
last
that.
Night, I spoke.
He's a scary, scary guy. He's a big, tough guy. He's a big, tough guy. Look at that. Oh, hey, look at that. Our friend Doug Steinhardt, Senator Doug Steinhardt, was just nominated by President Trump to be the next United States attorney for New Jersey. Look at that. Wow. Good for Doug. President Donald Trump will name Doug Steinhardt, New Jersey State Senator and former Republican State Chairman, as acting U.S. attorney for New Jersey. That is fantastic. That's good stuff. Good for him. There you go. Friend of the show. I have his cell phone number. That means I have the cell phone number of the Attorney General of the United States, the U.S. Attorney for New Jersey, and I have the cell phone number for the White House Press Secretary, Margo Martin, who you saw outside the Oval Office, and a fentanyl dealer in Philadelphia who can come to my house if necessary. So I'm hooked up with whatever you need. And if I die of, what is it again? Aerial, what is it? What's the name of it?
It's not aerial. It's an air embolism.
Yeah. How scary was Justin Trudeau? Do you think Trump is quaking in his boots? Do you think he's lost any sleep over this?
I think maybe Justin's angry that Cuba ended up back on the list of state sponsors of terrorism.
See, DeSantis, now you're thinking like me. There you go.
It was a joke. We still think that he is the son of Pierre Trudeau, to be clear.
Little Justin is getting his revenge that his homeland is now a state sponsor of terrorism again. That's what happens. All right, I got to take a quick break. Dr. Mike Veneri, a great guy, great friend, the master of dental implants. You know, 2025 is here. You got to smile. You got to laugh, right? I mean, with all the craziness in the world, you'll lose your mind if you don't. And we also have a lot to smile about because our guy won. And so I'm happy. I'm very excited about the future for America. I'm very, very excited about the fact that good days are here again. The golden age of America. So what better than for you to get a beautiful, beautiful smile? I don't mean gold teeth and braces like the Uzbekistan mobster who I almost killed me the other night. I mean a beautiful golden age of America that Donald Trump is going to usher in for us and your beautiful smile, whatever you need from Dr. Mike Veneria. And that includes, by the way, complicated dental work such as dental implants. Dr. Mike is known as the master of dental implants. It's why other doctors refer their patients to Dr. Mike. So what are you waiting for? Make your appointment today. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. And if you're thinking to yourself, Rich, why would I drive a longer distance to go to a dentist? There's a dentist in the strip mall by me. No, you don't want to go to the closest dentist. Take it from me. Who you choose for your medical care matters. I screwed up big time with my foot, but I typically make good choices when it comes to things like I usually go to Cooper. And for my dentist, I've had Dr. Mike for years. It matters who you choose. So choose the guy who has been regarded as the master among his peers for over 10 years. And if you've already had an estimate for complicated dental work, get a second opinion with Dr. Mike Veneria. Just go to veneriadental.com and make your appointment today. We got a lot to smile about, so make sure it's beautiful and make sure it counts. With my buddy, my dentist, my friend, the master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Veneria.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yes, indeed. It's a busy day today. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I'll apologize to all the Reaganites in the audience. I didn't mean to say Star Wars is a negative. I meant it as a positive, just keeping with the movie theme. But Strategic Defense Initiative was the actual name of it. Johnny Cook. It just sounds like a disease. SDI. Sorry. So the breaking news, Doug Steinhardt, my buddy, he is he's a state attorney, the acting now U.S. attorney for New Jersey. He is a state senator. He's been on the show. In fact, you heard him on the show a couple weeks ago talking about the drones. So congratulations to Doug, tapped by President Donald Trump for that very, very important position as United States attorney. And he's a guy who is acutely aware of the weaponization of government. So hopefully he'll do a great job. And it's an important job. I mean, the New Jersey Attorney General position or U.S. Attorney for New Jersey, it's a position that Chris Christie had at one point. And obviously it launched Chris Christie to be able to run for governor at some point. So there was a real horse race for that position. A lot of people in New Jersey politics wanted it and came down to Doug. So there you go. Now, a couple things I wanted to mention to you about this, the DEI stuff. First of all, it is the end of diversity, equity, and inclusion. It is the end. And good riddance. Good riddance. Because we have spent so much money and we have divided Americans. We have had American people walking on eggshells because of the woke DEI nonsense. And President Trump vowed to end it. And he's delivering on that promise. This is another promise that he's keeping. Okay? And yeah, you know what? It matters. Trump delivers on his promise to crush and dismantle DEI. And Jason Riley, who, by the way, is a black conservative, has a piece in the Wall Street Journal about this very point. It recognizes that Americans are eager to move beyond race. What I said yesterday on Fox News, I don't know if I mentioned this to you or not. It was on America's Newsroom with Dana Perino. If I didn't, my apologies. I said that we as Americans, we love the notion of equality of opportunity. It's in our blood. It's the American spirit. What we can't stand is this whole idea of equity of outcomes. That is not American. That is antithetical to the American spirit. And Joe Biden, 4 years ago, you probably don't remember his inaugural address. I don't remember his inaugural address. It was a very forgettable, boring speech. But he went on about systemic racism, white supremacy, a cry for racial justice. And he set the stage after George Floyd's death for 4 years of division. The left loves dividing us. They do. They love to pit us against each other, and they love to have all of us at each other's throats. They love it. Biden issued an executive order right after he became president on the importance of racial equity and support for undeserved communities through the federal government. Racial equity used to mean equal treatment regardless of race, but it became a progressive euphemism for group preferences. In practice, it means discriminating to achieve racial balance. President Biden at the time invoking, former President Joe Biden, I don't want to upset Jimmy Matthews, former President Joe Biden, invoked George Floyd's death in 2020 and said that, quote, this nation and this government need to change their whole approach to the issue of racial equity and make it not just an issue for any one department of government. It has to be the business of the whole of government. For the past 4 years, that's exactly what's transpired. Federal agencies were directed to implement or increase the availability of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs surrounding race as well as gender identity. Chief diversity officers established agency equity teams and submitted annual DEI progress reports. The Federal Office of Personnel Management warned that the intentional use of an incorrect name or pronoun or both could, in certain circumstances, contribute to an unlawful, hostile work environment. Major laws, including the American Rescue Act plan of 2021, included special benefits for ethnic minorities. Upon assuming office, President Trump announced that he would put a stop to these efforts, which he believes have been detrimental to national unity. He thanked minority voters for the tremendous outpouring of love and trust, and he said that I will not forget it. He also vowed to pursue race and gender neutral policies in his second term. He also said on his inauguration day, he said, I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life. We will forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based. As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female. And then the president signed an executive order that effectively reversed the Biden administration's DEI directives. Calls for the termination of all discriminatory programs, including illegal DEI and diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility mandates, policies, programs, preferences, and activities in the federal government, under whatever name they appear. Many progressive activists and media elites are no doubt horrified, Jason Riley writes, but for everyday Americans, this is common sense. Changing the targets of government discrimination won't undo the past. It will simply add to the number of people who have been treated unjustly in this country. It's no surprise that increasing the salience of race and favoring some groups over others can only harm the social cohesion necessary to sustain a multi-ethnic society. A Gallup poll released last week found that a plurality of Americans, 39%, said that race relations had worsened under Mr. Biden, versus just 24% who said that they had improved. Moreover, even fewer respondents, 22%, said that the situation for black people had improved during the Biden presidency. 34% said black Americans had lost ground. But remember something, that's the way the left wants it. They don't want race relations improved. They don't want the lives of black Americans to be improved, or any Americans to be improved, by the way. The only way you can advance your socialist agenda is to have people who are, quote unquote, hurting. And the only way that Democrats can ensure their progressive reign is to get people on government programs. That's what they want. So you can't improve economic conditions for everybody, because if you do, well, then how the hell are you going to get everybody sign up for a government program? They don't need it. So, yeah, they purposely try to make things worse for people so they can get them on the government dole. That's been a long-time plan of progressivism, long before it was even called progressivism, back in the good old days when it was called communism, before Woodrow Wilson and his ilk realized communism, socialism, had a bad ring to it in Europe, and they called it progressivism. That was always the philosophy, though. Sign people up for the government, get them addicted to government, and they'll vote for the party in charge. Something Lyndon Johnson believed, something that FDR believed, something that Barack Obama believed as well. And then, of course, if you divide people on issues like race, which is something that is immutable, right? Notice how the left has always said you can identify whatever gender you want, but not by whatever race you want. There's a reason for that. Because if you could just identify as a certain race, then they couldn't say that that racial group is now disenfranchised, subject to the like, for example, if a black person could identify as a white person in society, what would that achieve? Nothing, right? But how come the left wasn't advocating for that? They would say that a man could identify as a woman, but a man couldn't identify as a woman who's white. Like, a black woman could identify as a black man, but not a white man. Why not? Well, A, because it wouldn't change a damn thing in the structure of society. But B, if you could allow people to just choose whatever, you know, ethnic background they want, well, then that kind of defeats the whole America is built on a pillar of white supremacy argument that the left has been peddling all these years, does it not? Just an observation. How that's never come up. I mean, the only time it ever did was when Rachel Dolezal presented herself as a black woman. It turned out that she was white. But that didn't go over well. Again, there's a reason for that. You can't change your gender, can't change your race, can't change these things. But they never pushed the idea that you could, because they want it to be that America is this systemically racist place. And you need groups that are oppressed. If you don't have oppressed groups, you can't have an oppression argument. You can't have the government swoop in and rescue the oppressed by giving them all kinds of government benefits that will get them addicted to government and get them voting for Democrats. But a lot of people wised up and saw that all these government programs weren't helping them advance. They weren't helping them move on in life. If anything, they were holding them back. And that the racial division was holding them back, too. And they watched as the people who got rich, literally rich, off of peddling that division, left the streets of Chicago and moved to places like Martha's Vineyard. I'm talking about Barack Obama, for example. The evidence has been piling up that the country, Jason Riley writes, wants to move past race in ways that the political left continues to resist. Supreme Court's landmark 2023 ruling against racial preferences in college admissions didn't go over well with liberals, but polls show that a large majority of Americans, including most blacks, view the decision favorably. Writing in The Atlantic recently, George Packer urged fellow liberals to retire the notion that identity is political destiny. For decades, he noted, Democrats have told themselves that, quote, as the country turned less white, it would inevitably turn more blue. According to Mr. Packer, the 2024 election exploded that illusion. Nearly half of Latinos and a quarter of black men voted for Donald Trump. In New York City, Donald Trump did better in Queens and the Bronx, which have majority non-white populations, than he did in Manhattan, with its plurality of wealthy white people. Mr. Trump has repeatedly outmaneuvered his political opponents on illegal immigration. He may be in the process of doing the same thing when it comes to race relations and the left's identity politics mania. It's an excellent piece, and it makes a lot of sense, too. It also goes with something we've talked about in Philadelphia before, too, which is that the Democrats have lost ground throughout the entire city of Philadelphia, including Hispanic neighborhoods. The only places that they've gained ground is in places like Rittenhouse Square. The wealthy, white, college-educated liberals, they're the only ones who are still voting for the Democrats. That's the only area where the Democrats are making gains. Bottom line. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Coming up, already making gains on fighting illegal immigration. We'll tell you what ICE has done in the past 24 hours and how four illegal migrants have been arrested in connection with the home burglary of NFL star Joe Burrow. All that in a busy afternoon. The big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. 2025 is here. Make your appointment today. Get that free dental implant consultation by going to VeneriaDental.com. VeneriaDental.com. Coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. My funeral song will play after I die of atrial asphyxiation or whatever it is. What's it called again, Matt?
It was an air embolism.
Air embolism, yes. Which I feel the symptoms of right now, but that's mostly probably because I'm a hypochondriac. So there you go. Okay. What? By the way, do you think he's going to release the Kennedy files? What's your prediction on that?
I think he will, yeah.
Yeah?
He's followed through with all his other promises.
True. True. And he may do it today, as a matter of fact. We have this clip now of, I sent to you, Matt, I don't know who this guy is. This is a Congressman, Tennessee Representative Tim Burchett, who basically confirms that the United States government assassinated JFK. I don't know if that's true or not, but this is what he said in this clip. And I don't know how recent it is or how old it is or anything, but take a listen.
Because the American public would say, why are you covering this up? I guess you could say, why are they still covering up Kennedy, the Kennedy assassination? There's nothing there. I mean, it's been over 50 years. Everybody's dead. This is about power. It's about control. It's about money. It's about greed and corruption. And that's what runs this country right now.
There you go. Well, we'll find out. I hope it happens. We'll ask Gerald Posner what he thinks could be in those files, since he's convinced that it was Lee Harvey Oswald who acted alone. But we're going to talk about other things, too, which is the left's insistence on calling everybody they disagree with Hitler. You know, there was a joke they made in South Park years ago that everybody I don't like is Hitler. And of course, they're doing the same exact stuff again. This time it's Elon Musk, and they're making up lies about him doing the Hitler salute. And it really just does become just so incredibly annoying, does it not? This pastor who lectured Trump is getting a lot of news. This is this bishop who tells Trump to have mercy on immigrants and gay children. Episcopalian Bishop Miriam Bood, or Buddy, whatever her name is, asked Donald Trump to have mercy. This was during the prayer breakfast at the Washington National Cathedral. And this is getting a lot of news because she said this from the pulpit. And, you know, it's one thing for a pastor to say something like this at the pulpit, but then she proceeded to go on national television and try to make a name for herself. This is her original comments, cut number five. Let's play this from the woke bishop at the prayer breakfast. Take a listen.
Let me make one final plea, Mr. President. Millions have put their trust in you. And as you told the nation yesterday, you have felt the providential hand of a loving God. In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meat packing plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away, and that you help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here. Our God teaches us that we are to be merciful to the stranger, for we were all once strangers in this land.
So not only was it boring, the lecture that she was giving to President Donald Trump, just incredibly annoying. She went on a media tour after that. I don't know why LGBTQ kids would be scared. And the only reason why people in meatpacking facilities would be scared is if they're criminals and they're wanted by ICE for committing crimes. See, this is what really bugs me about this, is that this pastor is, again, using the classic left fear-mongering. Why would LGBTQ kids be scared? What do they have to be afraid of? What is Donald Trump going to do to them exactly? What is he doing to these kids? Nothing. Why would somebody working in a meatpacking facility have to be scared, even if they are in this country illegally, if they're not a criminal? Because how the hell are we going to even know that they're there? But the employer should be scared, because the employer is employing somebody who should not be working in this country legally. But I don't think the pastor's really that worried about the meatpacking facility owner, is she? Who might be employing people illegally, maybe even kids, maybe even migrant children. But she didn't stop there. She went on her media tour. Do we want to start with CNN or The View, Matt DeSantis? Which self-important, self-aggrandizing, pompous, self-promoting media tour do you want to begin with? Should we do cut six on The View?
Yeah, I mean, they're both equally annoying, so either one works, whichever you prefer.
All right, let's do cut number six. She proceeded to go on The View, like all bishops do, and proceed to promote herself. Take a listen.
You seem to strike a nerve. President Trump initially said yesterday it was, quote, not a good service, unquote. But overnight, he took to social media to say you were a, quote, radical left hardline Trump hater, unquote, that you brought the church into politics and that you owe your church and the public an apology. Now, given your role, it doesn't seem surprising that you would speak out for the marginalized, as anyone who's read the Bible and knows the path of Jesus. But do you think your message is being misconstrued and politicized?
Well, sure.
Oh, by the way, stop it right there. Yeah, stop. Just pause it. But breaking news. Harrison Fields, our buddy who's been on the show a number of times, many times in the course of the election, has just been named White House Principal Deputy Press Secretary. So good for him. That's really great news. Our buddy Harrison Fields, White House Principal Deputy Press Secretary. Good for him. Congratulations to Harrison. He was on the show a bunch of times during the election. So that's really, really good stuff. By the way, this pastor is a Trump-hating leftist who has been involved in all kinds of lefty causes. But go ahead. Let's listen to her nonsense on The View. Go ahead.
But I think if you read what I said, and I mean, how could it not be politicized, right? We're in a hyper-political climate. One of the things I caution about is the culture of contempt in which we live that immediately rushes to the worst possible interpretations of what people are saying and to put them in categories such as the ones you've just described. That's part of the air we breathe now. And I was trying to speak a truth that I felt needed to be said, but to do it in as respectful and kind a way as I could. And also to bring other voices into the conversation, which voices that had not been heard in the public space for some time.
Oh, BS. You know what you were doing? You were trying to embarrass the president of the United States to promote yourself, you lying hack. Otherwise, what you do is you do a kind service and then you go up to the president and you say that to him one on one personally. That's what you do. You don't grandstand and lecture and then go on CNN and go on The View and do all these things. What you're doing is you're promoting yourself. And it was rude, quite frankly. It was rude. And you know it was rude. And that's why you're going on all these shows and trying to justify what you did. No, if you had concerns, you could have said them one-on-one to the president. He would have been more than happy to talk to you. After all, you were leading the service. But you chose to use the bully pulpit to advance your lefty, whiny agenda. And that's why people are infuriated today, because it was completely out of place. You lectured him, and your entire premise was a bunch of BS, a bunch of malarkey. Because LGBTQ kids have nothing to fear in Trump's America, and the guy at the meatpacking plant has nothing to fear unless he's a criminal. So enough with the nonsense and the lies and the propaganda. Trump talked about wanting to be a unifier and a peacemaker. Would have been nice at the service if you commended him for that. You self-promoting, I won't say the word, C-word. Charlatan. We'll be right back. 30 minutes of nonstop talk. What did you think I was going to say? Straight ahead for you. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.